But as we look to God's Word, we're continuing in this series in the letter of the 1 Thessalonians that Paul writes to this church, this young, early church needing encouragement, just as we need encouragement today. Let us hear the word of the Lord. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, and that's the church at Thessalonica. And he has come back with a report and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Those last three verses, if you were paying attention, that is a blessing, isn't it? We just sang of a blessing, and that's another prayer of blessing that we have given by God to pray for each other and bless each other. But I'll get to that later. But I wanted to begin this morning with a date, and that was March 12, 1812. William Carey, a very wonderful, great missionary from England, was serving the Lord in India. And as a Bible translator, he and his team were turning out printed portions of the Bible for distribution amongst the people of India. And William Carey spent many, many years learning the language. He wrote grammars and dictionaries, not just for his use, but for those that would come after him, because the work of Bible translation is a very painstaking, hard work. And one day while Carey was away from his station, a disastrous fire broke out and completely destroyed the building, the press, and many printed Bibles, and worst of all, the manuscripts, the grammars, the dictionaries on which Carey had spent so much time. It was an incalculable loss. Can you imagine serving the Lord and having so much of your work destroyed by a fire? Now, when Mr. Carey returned and got news of this disastrous fire, without a word of despair or anger, he knelt down and thank God that he had the strength to do the work all over again. What a perspective. He started immediately, not wasting a moment, and before his death, he duplicated his first achievements and produced far better work than he had done formerly. You know, thousands in this world have lost all. Even as Pastor Lionel mentioned this morning, the loss even in BC is quite considerable. And many of you have lost dearly as well. And some have lost their homes and their families, their employment. And many who know the Lord have gone on in faith still, seeking to serve him in and through it all. When disaster, sudden disaster and loss come to God's people, he again proves his all-sufficiency. He is able. He is our all-sufficient source of power that never runs out. And trusting God plays a big role in our ability to persevere. And when we stand on the firm belief of who Jesus is and how much he loves you, how much he loves me, we are able to keep walking. We're able to keep going. And the entire purpose of 1 Thessalonians is to encourage new Christians to persevere in the faith in light of persecution, in light of loss, in light of hardship coming from all directions. And because he could not go to them, Paul himself, he sent Timothy, his companion, to spend some time with them, to encourage them, and then to bring back to Paul a report. How are they doing? He was very concerned how they were doing, or and whether they were still holding on to faith. Was their faith still genuine, Paul wondered. Was it a persevering faith, or was it a false faith that would fail at the sign of first hardship or trouble? So when Timothy returned to Paul, and if you've been following along in this series already, you know a little bit about this report. It was good news. It was a very positive report. For Timothy comes back to say their faith was still intact, and it was not only intact, it was spreading to others. And so when Paul heard the good news, it brought great encouragement to him. It brought great joy. So imagine the relief of Paul, who thought these dear people, this early church, young Christians, among the first of the churches that he planted as a missionary himself, that they might have abandoned their faith because of temptation, because of persecution, because of hardship. And I could see his concern as he wondered whose faith would survive despite threats of death and those whose faith perhaps would fail them. And so in our passage today, Paul speaks very passionately about their faith and love that remained. And we learn their faith was genuine because it was a persevering faith, and it was a faith that produced Christian love for each other, and it was a faith that looked to the return of Christ. If you have your text open, your Bibles, look at verse 3 with me, because in verse 6, there are three pieces of good news that Timothy reported back to Paul about the church in Thessalonica. Let me read it to you again. Verse 6, Timothy has just come to us from you and has brought good news about your, number one, your faith. Number two, and your love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Number three, affection. Let's look at those three words separately. First, there is good news about their faith. And this is referring to their relationship with God, their orientation with the Heavenly Father. You see, the gospel had indeed taken root in Thessalonica, in this early church, and now it had not only taken root, it was now bearing fruit. It was bearing fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how? How can anyone explain this? Because of God's grace and mercy in their life, but also because God was first in their life. In Hebrews 11, we learn that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And later on in Hebrews 11, verse 27, there's actually a word, the word persevered, which is used to describe the faith of all those in Hebrews 11, this hallway of faithful heroes that we learn about. And as a result of their faith in Hebrews 11, these heroes of the faith, many triumphed. They defeated enemies. Some escaped the sword, some survived lions and floods, but others, you see, met less happy ends, because in Hebrews 11, we also learn some were flogged, some were stoned, some were sawed in two. The chapter concludes, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what has been promised. Now, sometimes faith in God leads to victory and triumph. Sometimes it requires also a determination, a steadfast determination to hang on at any cost. Because of such people, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So we learn our faith must rest on the belief that God is in ultimate control and will indeed keep his promises, whether that happens in this life or in the next. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 reminds us. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come. Why? So that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When your faith remains strong through many trials, guess what? It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Again, Jesus never promised that following him would exempt us from facing problems in this life. I know there are many of you in this room today facing difficulty and challenges, but God did promise to always be with us, not forsake us, and to help us overcome whatever we face and whatever we face together. Now, the whole strategy of the devil is to steal your faith. But not just your faith, he wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your hope. He wants to steal your peace and your love. And whenever you receive a revelation of God's word, it is to be expected that the devil will try to steal that word from your heart and keep you from believing it and acting upon it. But we can repel the attacks of the enemy. We resist the devil by God's word ruling in our hearts. And we stay humble and we stay kind. We walk in the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit daily. And we also can resist the enemy's attack by constantly being on guard and abiding in him. How has your communion with the Lord been since last Sunday? Ultimately, we must never lose sight of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit all around us. And just as this early church had their hardship, we as the church in Campbellford have our hardships as well. I'm not the only one who thought that this pandemic would last maybe a couple of months. Look how far we're into it. But with all the challenges that it poses to us and how we struggle with it, may we never lose sight of the one who is in control, the one who is saving souls to this day, healing people, and filling them with their power, his power to continue on together, united and standing on God's word. We need that reassurance, and we need it from each other. We need it first from the Lord as we are in communion with him. And Timothy comes back and he reassures Paul of the determined faith of the Thessalonian believers that God remains first in their life above all the circumstances that they are facing. They are persevering in faith despite the persecution that has tempted them to forsake Jesus. They were persevering through hardship because they trusted in the Lord above all else. And where else is our wisdom going to come from if not from God's word? In the presence of the Holy Spirit leading us. And so we see, number one, faith. The strength of their faith remained in Thessalonica. But the second thing Paul learns about is their love. Paul gets the good news of their faith and now the good news of their love. And so the first was towards God, right? That is our faith, our vertical towards God, keeping him first. And now this one is towards others. And their love for one another. The evidence of their life in Christ was their love for others. They will know we are Christians by our love for one another. And six times in this letter, 1 Thessalonians, the idea of loving one another shows up. In fact, look at what Paul says about the love that this church had for each other in chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. He says, "Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you more, brothers, to do more and more." Despite the opposition that was coming against them, they gather together. They are sharing life and faith with one another. They are weeping with one another in their tragedies. They are laughing and rejoicing with each other in their triumphs. They are sacrificing for one another. They are serving one another when needs arise as they await the return of Christ. This was the love active and moving powerfully through this church and gives much great encouragement to Paul. They are loving one another. And this love is changing the lives, not only in this church, but then also in the churches around them. And that's good news. It's great news when you hear of Christian love spreading from one church to another, isn't it? From one community to another, from one neighborhood to another. It's good news of their faith. Let me ask you right now, can you name five of the wealthiest people in this world? Could you? Maybe one? Jeff Bezos, whatever his name is. There could be a few more that you could remember better than me. How about this? Could you name five of the people who have won the Nobel Peace Prize or Pulitzer Prize. You know, if you're really good at trivia, maybe you could. But I'm sure most of us couldn't name these people. But now I would like you to name three friends who have helped you through a difficult time, even in this past month or two. Who are those people? Can you name five people who have taught you something worthwhile in your life when it comes to faith and growing closer to Jesus? Could you name five people or a few people that have made you feel appreciated and special and loved and valuable? The people you'll never forget are not the ones with the most credentials, the most certificates, degrees, the most money or the most rewards. The people who make a difference in your life are the ones who showed you love, the ones that cared for you. Those are the ones you remember, aren't they? Those are the ones that come right to your mind. Praise God for them. Thank the Lord for how God has used them in your life. Our caring for one another is like a key that opens the door for the gospel and for the truths that are necessary for them to grow in their faith. Now, don't get me wrong. Caring alone, loving each other alone isn't enough without the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But truth without caring, truth without love, truth without compassion usually will be met with resistance, not acceptance. Think about these shoeboxes over here. What kid wouldn't be excited to receive that gift? To be the recipient of such an act of love and care and kindness. But guess what? It is more than just a shoebox full of wonderful items. It's one step towards sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The mission statement of Samaritan's Purse is this. The mission of Operation Christmas Child, one of their ministries, is to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way to children in need around the world. And through this project, Samaritan's Purse partners with the local church to share the good news of Jesus Christ and make disciples of the nations. So these shoeboxes are just that first step. And once they are distributed in communities around the world, local churches then follow up with these neighborhoods and with these children. In these communities, Christian volunteers from local congregations are trained by Samaritan's Purse to disciple kids who have made a decision for Christ. And their program is called The Greatest Journey. And it's a 12-week follow-up course that's put out for discipleship of these kids that make a decision for Christ. And according to Samaritan's Purse, since 2009, 26.5 million children have enrolled in this 12-lesson program to learn how to follow Christ, to learn how to share Christ with others. And many are now praying and sharing their faith with family and friends. And as a result of this ever-expanding witness, new churches are starting and communities are being transformed. Yes, churches have been planted because of a little box like that. Just think about the hundreds of families, the children and youth in Campbellford, and our surrounding communities, of which many of you here today represent. Families that need to hear about God's love and learn how to have a right relationship with Him. And there are entire neighborhoods living in darkness, people who need hope to know that there is light in our dark world. And so we need to be reaching them as the church. And that's wonderful because that's basically the mission of the church, to share the love of Christ with the world in the hopes everyone will come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So how can we reach them? What might be our shoebox in our local communities? So will you join me in praying to that end? How can we reach the lost in our community? And maybe you are, and God has given you a mission and a ministry already. But if you have an idea, let me know. Let Pastor Lionel know. Let's continue to partner together as believers to reach our communities for Christ as needs arise, as you become aware of a need or something that we can do. But what a great time of the year it is right now to discover ways to practically and tangibly bless people, love Campbellford, and share the gospel with them. Paul learns that the Thessalonian believers were loving one and they were loving one another, and it was changing lives in the church. And that's good news, and it's good news of their faith. So we've learned about their faith and their love, but now thirdly, we hear of their affection. Listen carefully to how this word comes out and what Paul says. Timothy has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. When you long to see somebody, it's because in your heart you love them. There's that affection that you feel towards them. You want to be with them. And here, this is the third piece of what we learn in verse 6 about the good report coming from Timothy to Paul about the Thessalonian church. You see, the Thessalonians, they don't just put up with Paul. They love Paul. They love Paul. They were so blessed by him. Paul had served them with the word of the gospel. As a complete stranger, he went into their community to get to know them. And in doing so, he shared the gospel with them. And for those who believed, he then spent time with them, discipling them, helping them to learn the commands of Jesus, how to obey and follow God, to be baptized. And he helped them know who Jesus is and how to walk with him. He taught them the words of Jesus and how they must live this new life in Christ. And so this church had a real deep affection for Paul and his brothers, these companions that had helped plant a church in Thessalonica. And the fire of God's love is burning brightly in them towards Paul and also towards all the churches surrounding them. In chapter 1, we learned of the incredible influence they were already having on the region around them. Listen to chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel, it came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Praise be to God. This is the work of God that nothing, no one, not even the devil, can stop. This young church is fulfilling the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And they're also loving their neighbor as themselves. What a wonderful report Paul receives about this church from Timothy. And how did this report affect Paul and his companions? Listen to verses 7 to 10. How did this report affect Paul? Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. His response is quite amazing, isn't it? Paul's heart is bursting with joy because he hears that these believers continue in the faith. They continue in love. They continue in affection for one another. For Paul, his faith was refreshed. What refreshes your faith, I wonder, this morning? Worship time? Gathering together? I hope this morning has been a time already of refreshing to your spirit, your faith. But for Paul, hearing about how this body of Christ was doing filled him with joy. The persevering faith of the Thessalonians strengthened his own faith. I don't know about you, but when I hear about how God is answering prayers in our church family, it increases my faith. It gives me strength. The joy that comes from hearing of spiritual victories and miracles in other believers' lives always encourages me to endure my own hard times. It renews and refreshes my commitment to serving Christ in the face of difficulty. Would you say that's true of yourselves also? When you hear of answered prayer, when you hear of God working miracles around this world, does it not just pick you up and give you strength and joy and hope and love that God is still at work in a world that is out of control? This past week, my mom shared a sweet miracle and an answer to prayer in her community. She was praying for a little girl named Faith, who was sick with severe mouth ulcers. And the medication that she had to take to numb the pain for eating was almost gone. There was only 4 milliliters left in a small little bottle. And this was on a Saturday. Running out of medication. The pharmacy was not going to be open till Monday at SickKids, and it was going to take at least till Wednesday for them to get the refill because they live so far. It was a special medication, and those last 4 milliliters were able to last 5 days, 3 times a day. How is that possible? It just kept coming. They knew they were about to run out, but it never ran out until they had the refill. God's power. He is able. With God, all things are possible. And this is a dynamic that was not only true of Paul, but it's true for us as well. Yes, Paul, his faith was encouraged and strengthened because of the faithfulness of the Thessalonian church. And so we must consider how our faith also affects the faith of others. We should ask ourselves this question, or one like it: how does my faith affect those around me? Your faith, you see, is always on display. Our walk with the Lord is always on display. Yes, first to our family, our kids, to those around us. What will the next generation look like if they pattern their faith after my faith? These are personal questions of reflection I encourage you to ask. Examine your faith. I encourage you to be faithful to Jesus in all you do. Keep walking with him faithfully each and every day and keeping him first. And you can keep him first by doing a number of things. Yes, reading your Bible, studying your Bible, memorizing scripture, praying together, praying so that your kids can see that you're praying and talking to God about your struggles. Talking with others about God also is very important in how we keep God first in our lives. I'm so thankful my mom shared that with me. She didn't have to share that miracle with me, you know, but she did. Let us continue to share those God sightings, friends. You can keep him first by meeting together with other believers, whether it's Sunday morning, throughout the week, prayer meetings, Bible studies, whatever you call it, meet together and do church. The report of God's work in the Thessalonian church was great news for Paul, and his life was enriched by the news that Timothy came back with and shared. Thank you, God, that Timothy was able to get there and come back and share this report. In verse 9, what does Paul give thanks for? Well, he gives thanks for the Thessalonians' faith. And what Paul is grateful for is the faith of other Christians. That is what he gives thanks for. And this is what encourages him. Why? Because if other Christians have faith, and God is helping them through a difficult time, they are standing firm in the faith, this then causes us to have great joy in the presence of the Lord. Now in verse 10, Paul tells them he will pray for them night and day, that he will see them again, hopefully soon, and supply what is lacking in their faith. Now, interesting that in verse 10, Paul says, yes, he will pray for them earnestly. We see that encouragement to us to persevere in prayer, but that he will supply what is lacking in their faith. Why does Paul say that? Yes, they have faith. That has been clear. It's a matter of rejoicing, but they still lack much. And so night and day, Paul will pray for them and hopefully provide for them one day. But you have to understand that there are things that this early church still does not understand. There are parts of the message of the Bible they do not grasp. The Christian life, you see, is about growing and maturing in our faith. It involves discipleship, for none of us are there yet. Salvation, you see, in Christ brings life to every believer. That day, that moment, you believe, praise the Lord, but that was just the beginning. The Apostle Peter challenged Christians in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does Jesus tell us about growth? Well, he tells us in John 15, he told his disciples, abide in me, to stay connected to him. He is the vine and his followers are the branches. Those who abide in him bear much fruit. Jesus said, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." So we must live in obedience. And obedience to God's word proves the reality of our love and faith in Him, for Him. And so we keep ourselves in the love of God. And Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Reminding us again, our behavior reflects our beliefs. But they still need to be trained more about what it means to trust in God, just like I do, and just like you do. And so Paul prays that he might see them again so that he can provide them with what is lacking in their faith. The last three verses of chapter 3, as we wrap this up, they are a blessing. They are a prayer. And what does Paul pray over this church? He prays for those parts of their faith that still need strengthening. He prays that their love would grow and increase. He prays that their hearts would be strengthened, that they will be, so that they will be blameless when Jesus returns. He wants them to grow in love and in holiness in light of the return of Christ. What a prayer for one another today. All in all, Paul prays that God will increase their faith, increase their love, and increase their holiness. And so would you take a moment now to give thanks for the faith and the faithfulness of other believers God has put in your life? Perhaps Christians who are being persecuted around the world, will you pray for them? Most particularly, how about, will you pray for people that you have helped come to faith in Christ? And would you also pray for those people around you now, sitting beside you, that they will grow in their faith, that they will grow in love, that they will grow in holiness? Let us do that right now. Let us pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are living in times of unprecedented crisis. Lord, we are living in a time of uncertainty and confusion, which can breed fear, which can breed anxiety, can lead to many abandoning their faith. Lord, we need you. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all the wisdom and understanding your Holy Spirit freely gives. Help us, Lord, to live as you want and to do what pleases you. Lord, help us produce all kinds of loving, good deeds and care, that, Lord, you would use our actions to open hearts, that those receiving our love will also receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most of all, Lord, make us strong with all the strength that comes from you so that we may be able to endure everything with patience, with joy, with compassion. Lord, help us be salt and light, Lord, and messengers of love and hope in these times of trouble. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.